This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Let's talk about Anthony Black. Let's talk about Anthony Black.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, man. That's great. That's great. Being two white dudes, that's how I start the show.
Hey, Tony, we're on the wrong stream, man. Let's go.
Went to the wrong show, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. We should have been at the Action Network podcast.
Welcome back. I'm talking too much. I'm sick. I have a runny nose. It's annoying. But welcome back, BACK. The floor is yours. I'm Brian Fonseca. I'm the one that made that error. It's fine. Professional broadcaster, usually. Tony Schwartz is here. Sean Rochester is here. Timmy is on another island with shitty Wi-Fi per his admission. And Greg, who's also become a friend of the show, is not here because, well, he's not a regular and he's doing other things right now, I'm told. So this is our crew today. If I sniffle into the microphone, please excuse me. And also find me $5 like they do on the Dan Le Batard show. But gentlemen, we have a bunch of NBA things to get into. First up, we're going to start with John Morant, and then we're going to go around the room, talk about injuries. And then obviously we have, And then we have, this is a flu game situation here. And then after that, we have the Heat coming back somewhat whole, although Jimmy Butler just missed a game, but we know it's one of them, Jimmy Butler knick-knack injuries, so whatever. Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo returning. But first, John Morant. John Morant returns. He gets 30-something points. He gets a game winner. A lot of people, including myself, thought that the Pelicans minus six or whatever the case may be was probably a good line because Ja, you know, he may ease back into it. It's 25-game suspension. And he did not. And he had a game winner. And he was amazing. And he's on one of my fantasy teams. So I'm very excited about this. Sean, who I'm actually playing in fantasy this week, and he might beat me because Donovan Mitchell and Luka Doncic decided to miss games, which is not great. But Sean, your thoughts on John Morant's returning, and do you think, because Memphis is, I don't know, 7-19 right now or something like that, do you think, like, there's any viability in the buying, oh, Memphis has a legit shot to at least make the play-in now?
Yeah, first for second place, I believe, in that fantasy league, too, I think. You know, Ja coming back obviously is a huge boost for them. They probably wish they had a few more wins within where they're at, and the West is not going to be easy to climb into because – quite honestly, the West is deep. I mean, you have teams that are like the Warriors that are on the outside looking in or trying to claw back in. So, you know, I think that Ja can do it because of his star power. And I think that they have a good supporting cast around him when he's there. Obviously, when he was gone, he's such a big piece that the machine didn't run smoothly. The only thing that I would say is, and we know this as Heat fans, you leave yourself so little room for error, right? One injury to Desmond Bane, one time Ja rolls his ankle, Jaren Jackson Jr. gets hurt, and you go on a slide again, you're probably not going to have enough time to make it up. So they're going to have to get hot between now and like All-Star break to see if they can get back into it. But if they can get back into it, I think, you know, they got the right squad to do it. They got a young, energetic squad, and I think Ja is going to try to carry him there.
Tony, they're 7-19 right now. they're currently up 4 against the Indiana Pacers at home. Yeah. This is Ja Morant's first home game of the season, so big deal. Maybe they win that game. I think they will, but we'll see at the end of this. But the Jazz are in front of them, 10-18. The Warriors, 13-14. The Suns, who are right now in 10 in the Western Conference, 14-13. So you're looking at 6.5 games that you would have to make up there over the course of time. But it's not even Christmas yet. It's about to be, but it's not even Christmas yet. So is this a deficit that they could sort of overcome in the Western Conference? A Western Conference that's like the Eastern Conference, probably going to have a lot of parity this year.
It's NBA where miracles happen. I miss that commercial where anything can happen. But Sean said it best. You have teams on the outside looking in right now that I think just are infinitely better. I mean, Phoenix is the 10th seed at the moment. Utah is 10-18. Now, I think they can take that spot. And then they're pushing Golden State for 11, Houston for 9, who could drop. So it's conceivable. I mean, if Houston goes on a slide, there's a spot right there. And then you just have to push Golden State for that last play-in. They get Brandon Clark back at All-Star. They get Marcus Smart back soon. But, you know, they got – here's their problem. It's size. They have to beat on all the teams that they can beat without the size because they're going to lose those matchups without Brandon Clark, without Steven Adams. It's got to be a 2-1 for them the rest of the way. It's going to be tough. It can happen, though. Ja's that good.
Yeah, and I think he's eager to remind people of that. I think Houston's interesting because they're not very good on the road, as we've covered here. Young teams typically aren't. Phoenix, I think, is obviously going to move up from that spot, 14-13, although they're really thin right now. And Golden State and Utah, I mean, Golden State has some blow it up potential, and Utah is just, I don't think they're
very good. They're dropping. They'll pop out, so which gives them a spot, but they have to find another one.
Utah got a big win in it, though. Props to them. Taking care of business shorthanded without Omer Yurtseven and taking care of the Detroit Pistons, who have had a little bit of a rough streak lately.
Which, by the way, if I can get the floor is yours early, my favorite thing in basketball is Detroit finding ways to lose games. This is impressive. I have never been more intent on watching box scores in my life. Watching these teams find ways to lose is just awesome.
Pray for Kate Cunningham.
Out Kelly Olynyk. Shout out Kelly Olynyk. Big game tonight.
Potential game. Trade package partner for somebody. Van Lee says, are Memphis buyers or sellers? Because I wanted Marcus Smart. Van Lee, I think, is a Heat fan. I mean, I don't think they're selling. I don't think they're giving up on this window. If there's a scenario like Sean was talking about where somebody gets hurt, they're thin again, they just kind of can't get there to that play-in sort of spot. If Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson Jr. goes down, then I think they'll probably soft sell. But those three guys, I don't think, are going anywhere. Ja, Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane.
I'm pretty sure they have their pick, if I remember hearing that correctly. So you kind of do a soft punt. You get yourself another lotto pick, and maybe you use it in a package. But, yeah, you're not tearing it apart because of the whole Ja Morant and then an injury that we're talking potentially happening.
Let's get to injuries, which Ja Morant did not return from one. But Memphis is a pretty banged-up team right now. That's the other piece of this in terms of winning games. But there are some significant injuries around the league, particularly in the Eastern Conference, but also one in the West, Bradley Beal. That we just talked about, the Phoenix Suns and their struggles. But otherwise, we got a real, like, sad report today, I guess, to some degree. Mitchell Robinson was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Now he's out for the season with an ankle injury. Not like a torn ACL or anything like that. So Isaiah Hartenstein is the center right now. They signed Taj Gibson. They're applying for an exception, disabled player an exception, which is going to be like $7.8 million or something along the lines, was reported. But they're kind of, you know, we'll see financially if they could actually make something work. And that sort of tilts the power of what that team could be a little bit, because Mitchell Robinson was their defensive minded center, and it's going to be a different team now. They're going to have to play faster, which they have been doing so far. And then in Cleveland, Darius Garland's out, but for longer, Evan Mobley's out. He's having knee surgery, arthroscopic knee surgery, which is almost always 6 to 8 months. So that's going to be tough as well. And those are two teams that directly affect Heat, Celtics, Bucks, What's more significant to you from those? Is it in terms of tilting the power in the Eastern Conference? We'll stay there. Is it Evan Mobley? Is it Mitchell Robinson? Because one of them is for the season. One of them is for a couple months. Evan Mobley is obviously better, but Mitchell Robinson affects the Knicks greatly. Tony, go first.
Yeah, it's Mitch. I think to me, because the Knicks were finding balance. I don't know what their ceiling was going to be. Nobody ever does year to year, but they were starting to figure out some good ways for them to execute winning basketball. Cleveland has been what they've been for a long time. And I think what is the biggest conversation to have around this is, what does that do to the buying and selling potential of those squads? What does that do to the buying and selling potential of the teams around the league that might have been interested in the players that those guys have? Does that Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell package make sense now for New York, where the Knicks were not? I don't think they were buyers for Don this year. It did make sense to me, but now they might be back in those sweepstakes. So let's go. But as far as a loss, Mitch is a big deal. I mean, he's grabbing 12 boards a game over there in New York. He's playing really solid defense for them. He had a great switch up. You guys had a great change up with Hartenstein and Mitchell all season. And now you have to play Hartenstein more minutes, which I think hurts him defensively. But you make up for that in the offensive end. But it's tougher for them to stay as relevant, because their error, their margin of error was so much smaller than Cleveland's.
Sean?
Yeah, I was leaning Robinson, and I'll just go the other side, I guess, just because, you know, Mobley obviously is a better player. Also with Garland being out, they just have too many injuries, I feel like, right now. You know, I just think Cleveland is the better team of the two, I think, even though I know New York beat them in the playoffs last year. But, you know, in both cases, losing that big man, it doesn't hurt Cleveland as much because you have Allen to anchor. But yeah. I just don't think, you know, with New York, they have to go elsewhere. Like Hartenstein, I really like, but he's a really good backup center. You don't want him to be your starter. I think the more he's on the floor, the more he's going to get exposed. And then Taj Gibson, I mean, props to him for being out there at, you know, 41 years old or whatever he is,
but almost.
He's not going to hold up.
38, you know, I think, so, but almost.
They need to, whether it's sign someone. I mean, I know you're going to start hearing the Boogie Cousins, the Hassan Whitesides, those types of names. But like, I don't know who do you can't tell me Hassan wouldn't be great in New York. The lights, you know, the Snapchat. He's a defensive anchor. He's a lob threat. I mean, he would shine. But no, I just don't know what they do. And do you make a drastic move or a move that hurts you maybe long term just to plug that hole? You know, how good do you really think you are? I don't think they would ever be better than Boston, Milwaukee, etc. So I think you have to have patience sometimes when that happens to you.
The most fun name is James Wiseman, if they could trade for him. I think that's the most fun one. I don't think you could do that, really.
If you need a center, you call Detroit, right? I mean, Jesus, they have
seven.
Look, they like Isaiah, up the trench coat, and they got them all here, like watches. Like, here, what do you want? You know, like
Isaiah Stewart. Also, they'd probably be the first team in NBA history with a white Isaiah and a black Isaiah on the same team. Isaiah Hartenstein is he's in a conversation for best backup center in the NBA. I feel like, but
yeah,
there's a reason he hasn't started in his career for more than like just these parts. So I feel like they may try to upgrade from that spot at some point and resume him to his role. I mean, initially Jericho Sims was starting, and then they just decided to keep Isaiah Hartenstein there to play however many minutes, and Jericho Sims got hurt. But I think Isaiah Stewart is somebody that people are going to maybe talk about trading for. But as Van Lee points out, yes, on a poison pill deal, although his contract is not bad. Like if you value what he does, I think he's going to be interesting for somebody at some point, because I don't think his future's in Detroit. I don't think anybody's future's in Detroit except maybe Kate Cunningham. And I'm not even sure of that, because you have people over there trying to trade him in terms of just the analysis, not the actual front office of the team. But closing thoughts on this before we wrap up with some Heat stuff. Yeah, I don't think the Knicks are in trouble necessarily, but man, Mitchell Robinson was playing really well in the playoffs and was carrying that over, and I think that's going to affect them a lot. It also means Julius Randle is going to take it upon himself to be more aggressive, which will play into other teams' hands. You know, even though he's playing well, at some point we know that that's not going to last all season long. You guys have anything else on this? We should probably hit Mobley. We should probably hit Mobley. Yeah.
I mean, for them, is it Dean Wade? Who's starting in his spot?
It's going to have to be, right? Or at least he's going to have to take part of it.
I know they played tonight. I'll look and see who they started.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Donovan Mitchell's also out right now. This team has not been right. Like, Max Strus has sneaky been one of their best players, a development I didn't see coming, you know, even though they signed him to that massive contract. But Cleveland worries me because I actually thought I projected them to be one of the top two or three teams in the Eastern Conference during the regular season and then loses in the first round of the playoffs against somebody. But,
you know, the silver lining here is they have some guys now that they might be able to feature, right? Like, Damian Jones is a dude 28 years old now. What's going on with him? At this point, he's making like 2.4. He got a small rookie deal.
He's still around.
Still making money. He's still rocking, man. He's still rocking. So it's like, you got to figure out what you have in these bottom pieces here. Cause like Cleveland is deep, but they're deep in like just like solid players.
Yeah. But the larger issue with Cleveland though, is it feels like it's trending towards bye-bye Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
He ends up in New York or Brooklyn or Miami. And if that's the case, which I think it will be the case, I think there's going to be – I don't think Mobley's going to be the one out. Everyone seems to think it's going to be Jared Allen. I think that makes some sense.
It's Jared. It's the same situation with the Phoenix Suns when they had Ayton. You have a contract you want to get off of because it doesn't work basketball-wise. They're going to use Donovan to help get Ayton out or to help get Jared Allen out if they're going to soft rebuild.
I think if you're the Heat, Celtics, or Bucks, and you look at these two teams, I think you just feel like you can beat them and you're fine. Sixers also. I don't trust the Sixers. I don't really trust anybody right now, but yeah. Sean, you were about to add something.
They're teams that could get, like, I would imagine seeding-wise, they can get a game from those teams, or they're a tough sweep, but like, yeah. I don't see either of them, especially given their injuries, of getting into the second round and or making any noise in the second round. Talking about Cleveland and talking about New York. Philly's a different monster. I think that they're better than we thought. I don't think they're at the same level as Boston. I don't think they're Milwaukee, but they're pretty firmly third. But I don't trust them once it gets to their ceiling, which is commonly – the rest of us call it the second round.
We'll see what happens on Christmas Day, because Christmas is one of those days where it feels like the playoffs, because that's really like an important day in NBA basketball history. Christmas is always one of the biggest days of the year for the NBA. And they're underdogs against the Heat in Miami. And they're going to have, you know, they're going to be in Miami for probably a day or so before that. So we'll see if they get the South Beach flu. I think Tyrese Maxey is somebody to watch in that game. I think Joel Embiid is going to hit his unders. Okay, speaking of Miami, and we'll wrap here because I need some damn Theraflu. Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo are back. Jimmy Butler all of a sudden decides to miss a game. But we've seen a couple games now. There were some encouraging things against Minnesota, and then they did their fourth quarter shit. The Heat, by the way, 8-20 in fourth quarters this year, minus 104 point differential. Comma, however, they beat the shit out of the Orlando Magic. Like, I know the score got sort of close. There was a fake comeback at the end. The Heat lost that fourth quarter as well. But they beat the shit out of the Orlando Magic. In Orlando, a team that everybody loves and is one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, and they just absolutely punked them. An Orlando Magic team that had their guys, by the way, like majority of their guys. And Miami didn't have Jimmy Butler. Main takeaways from that, Tony, we'll start with you because you're from that area of Florida. But just your takeaways on, as we're talking about Mitchell Robinson being out, Darius Garland being out, Evan Mobley being out, the Heat getting closer to whole, how does Tyler and Bam sort of tilt the scales in their favor in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, when they were beating up on pretty bad teams with Tyler in the lineup, you kind of saw there's a talent gap. Like, it's limited as people say this Heat roster is. The continuity and the effort level night to night brings them up into that top four seed territory. And you saw it against Orlando last night. They're a great defense, but there's a learning curve with younger teams about physicality and ways to play in minutes that matter, especially like late second quarters. Those stretches are so important when they were letting the Heat get great looks. I mean, just great looks from three, and they went on that crazy 20-point stretch and just bring it out with three-pointers. And all that game showed me is that the Heat have a lot of change-ups in their toolkit this year. You know, they can, to a lot of people's chagrin, they can create a great half-court look by pounding the rock maybe five or six times if they need to off of some pick-and-roll sets. But they're going to find ways to get great looks. They're going to find ways to hit you with physicality, hit you with verticality. You know, they can stretch the floor in and out. They'll get horizontal on you or they're running motion. A lot of baseline cuts this year, which I love. Shout out to Haywood Highsmith, who's great at that kind of thing. They're just offensively, they're way more versatile. I think they're a fourth seed easily in the East. That's all that game solidified for me. They have a lot of shit they have to figure out down the stretch of games with that bench lineup. The first 8 minutes of every fourth quarter is really tough basketball. Offensively, they're not connected. And I don't think that they communicate well together yet. Some of that's Josh Richardson coming back into a system. Some of that's Caleb coming back into the lineup because he's playing a lot of those stretches. But they have to figure out a better rotation for that specific time period, get guys better locked in, have some more continuity on what they want to get to. And I think they're good. I think they're going to be fine. But it's concerning. That don't like it.
Look, the fourth quarter shit is the thing that stands out to me, because if they were just a decent fourth quarter team, then you're talking about maybe a 20-win team already at this point. Sean, you and I have talked about this a lot because the fourth quarter thing is so damning. We've been betting against them in the fourth quarter and making some money on them during the season, because you gotta be objective when your money's on the line. But S.Dot Warrior points out, Sean, and I'll toss it to you, the fact that the books have the Heat -1.5 against the Sixers on Christmas Day shows how much faith the books have in Miami, even with 3 points you get from being a home game. And I will say to that Eric Spoelstra is 8-0 on Christmas, 7-1 against the spread. Sean, presumably Tony has, if Miami's four, Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, in whatever order, being the top three, I guess, in the Eastern Conference. How do you think Tyler and Bam's return affects that? And is there going to be a period of time where, you know, maybe they'll struggle for a little bit, or are we just here now because they beat Orlando, even with Jimmy not being there?
In terms of them kind of balancing things out and figuring out how things are going to flow, I think honestly, for the first two games that they've been back, it's looked pretty good. Yeah. I think the Minnesota game, you played very well and you lost. And I know we were together on the post game show, and I think we felt good about that loss, even though it came with a fourth quarter collapse. You know, Tyler is continuing to play well. I think he's doing the things you want to see out of him. Obviously Jimmy not being out there, you have a little bit more wiggle room for shot attempts and usage for him when Jimmy comes back. And when you're whole, if that happens, when that happens, I think on Christmas you'll see it, but I think you're going to continue to see guys get rested. And I think it's okay to do that, especially on the wing, because you have Jaime that can step in. Now, I think Jaime's getting a little tired. I think Jaime has played every game. I think he deserves a little break just like Kyle had. But that's okay, because then you have Caleb. You have Haywood that could use some extra minutes to get accustomed to what he's doing. You got Duncan out there. You have guys on the perimeter that can go out there. And so I do agree. I think we are pretty firmly the fourth best team in the East. Ideally, you want to finish somewhere in the top four. I would be okay fifth because I don't really fear those other teams if it's not a Milwaukee, Boston, or Philadelphia. And I think a lot of people would say if it's Philadelphia, whether it's a 3-6, you know, 4-5 matchup, that you're not that scared to go there. I just, you know, that's not my ideal situation either. But no, I think we're going to see a lot of the same stuff as we go through this season. And you know, that's just the way that Miami's going to be as an older team. And to your point about the fourth quarter, we mentioned this when we were talking, me, you, and Greg. It's not like Miami is busting people up and they're cruising through fourth quarters and the point differential is misleading. The point differential is the difference between probably 3, 4, 5 wins,
yeah,
you know, that we could have. And that's something that has to get corrected. And the good thing is that there's roughly 50-something, 60-something games left that you can get that fixed.
So we'll close here. How do the Heat fix this fourth quarter bullshit? Tony, what's the biggest thing for you? Like, how do they – because, again, 8-20 minus 104 points.
You know, it gets solved, I think, in practice, which means it's going to take time. They look disconnected.
Teams barely practice, Tony.
I know.
They barely practice now.
That's some of it. They just look a little disjointed. Sometimes it doesn't look like they know what actions they're trying to get to. I don't know if the pace just needs to come all the way down and run some things that people are more familiar with for a while, but it's just going to take time. You know, especially with the instability in the lineup rotations, it's gonna be tough. But they'll figure it out as the season goes. It's an IQ team.
Van Lisa, stop playing your rookie the entire fourth. Sean, put your coach hat on, or I suppose your coach quarter zip on, because basketball coaches don't wear hats.
Love the quarter zip.
But what would you? Yeah. How do they fix this fourth quarter stuff? Because this is crazy.
So I think, you know, to Tony's point, it's fixing things when you have time on the practice floor and when you're watching film. But until you get out there and you're in that situation where it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, not just clutch time, but that whole 12 minutes, because yeah, it's oftentimes that first 4 to 6 minutes. And I always joke about, you know, forcing the first timeout, right? Like, that's always my little bit that I throw out there.
That's right.
But it's true that, you know, if you're in a tight game, you want to seize the momentum at the beginning of the quarter. And we talked about in postgame the other night that Jimmy sits that first 6+ minutes every fourth quarter. Maybe you have to tinker with that a little bit. You can't play him 12 minutes, but maybe you need to put him in there for a few minutes at the beginning of the fourth and then sit him for a smaller amount. Maybe, you know, like Van Lee said, maybe you don't play Jaime as much. Maybe you reduce some of Josh's minutes. I think it's variable about who's playing well and what the matchup is, because you have lots of guys that you can put on the floor and feel comfortable with in a fourth quarter. And that's an advantage for Spo. But right now, it's just not boiling down to an advantage when you look at the scoreboard.
Jack Asul says, I think Lowry is an important closer. We need more control.
Hurt against Minnesota. Not having Kyle hurt against Minnesota.
Well, he could have been a stabilizing fourth in that fourth quarter. And Kyle Lowry, to his credit, better than I would have expected. Not Damian Lillard, but better than I would have expected this season so far. Van Lee chimes in. This might be our last comment, unless somebody else wants to send us off with a bang. Van Lee says, this is such an easy problem for Spo to fix. Not worried at all. I was hoping for a follow-up there. Sean, you have
one? Yeah, and I was going to add to this, and I forgot about this. You know, listening today to the post-game pods, ours, Locked On, Miami Heat Beat, all recorded roughly the same time last night, right? They didn't exchange ideas. Every podcast talked about this kind of prevent offense, sort of the concept of they were playing to hold the lead, not playing to extend the lead and continue to push. Like, they went away from the things that were working. And I think that's kind of the case. Like, it's not that Spo is coaching them to do that. Like, all right, guys, be passive. But, like, you know, you might not take the risky pass that you would. You're trying to be safe, but you can only be safe to a certain extent. You can, like, control the pace and slow down and maybe not try to get out in transition, run some clock. But you can only do that to so much extent because you still have to put the damn ball in the basket. Like, this isn't playing a JV team. This is playing a high school team. Like, I mean, I don't stop playing high school teams. Playing an NBA team is what I meant to say. Unless you're the Sixers, they get to play high school teams like every damn night. It seems like their schedule's terrible, but
it kind of works when you play Orlando when you're up 24, up 20 going into the fourth. But that's not every night.
Exactly, and that's where I was saying, like, it could be misleading that if you're busting people up, you might lose the fourth quarter because you're playing, you know, Nikola Jovic and those boys. Like, okay, I'm okay with losing the fourth quarter if those guys are out there, but like, we can't keep having this happen if you expect to go on a run when it really matters.
S-Dot Warrior says yes, Lowry's been he said yes, Lowry's, because there's a lot of S's there. Lowry's been balling. His job is to run offense and make sure the team does not lose itself. Like a real point guard does. I miss when we had more point guards. We don't have a lot of actual point guards, nor do we have a lot of great centers beyond a handful in the NBA currently. Last thing I'll say, we'll end it here. Cannot wait for Christmas Day games, because to me, I think that is going to be the test, the barometer, the closest thing that we will have seen to the playoffs so far, and I think the Heat will treat that like a big game. I don't feel like they've treated a lot of games like big games. I feel like they're not going through the motions, but they're playing out the regular season as is everybody else. I feel like Christmas against the Sixers is a game they're going to actually get up for. Tony, you get the last word.
Do you think the Lakers will treat Christmas like a play-in game?
I'll say Manny,
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.